Let's return to this week's economic update and the government's savings drive, which will be the first test of the government's new numbers in the lower house. Spending cuts totalling $3.5 billion will require legislation when Parliament sits again in February. The opposition is yet to declare its position, so it could be up to the crossbenchers again to decide whether the government's spending cuts get through the Parliament. One of those key votes is held by independent MP Rob Oakeshott. Rob Oakeshott, welcome back to Breakfast.
Thanks, Fran.
Rob Oakeshott, before we discuss spending cuts, can we talk about increased spending, this time on a pay rise for politicians? Do you deserve a big pay rise?
Oh, look, I've said previously I'd do this job for a tin of baked beans if I didn't have to worry about feeding four kids as well. And I'll just accept the judgment of the independent tribunal, whatever that may be, and do the best I can with that. It is not the motivator for why I do the job. You have to ask each of us individually whether that's the same case, but at my end, I love the work, I'm attracted to it, and very much focused on policy outcomes.
Sure, these are tough times, though, as the Treasurer's been telling us, and Kevin Rudd, when he was Prime Minister during the GFC, put a freeze on politicians' pay. Do you think that freeze should be continued? Is there a case for that? Do you think a lot of Australians might think that?
Oh, yeah, look, it's worthy of consideration by government, but it's really a question for them. From my perspective, you know, I've been a bit arm's length from the debate around Polly's pay, but my understanding it has been one that in the last 12 months has gone to an independent tribunal for decisions to be made. If there's been any announcements today that I'm not aware of, then that's a consideration for Prime Ministers, Treasurers and the Executive, and I'll accept that umpire's verdict.
Let's go to the issue of spending cuts now. $3.5 billion of them announced by Wayne Swan this week. They'll need to go through the Parliament. Some are contentious. For instance, the $400 cut to the baby bonus, which would take it back to $5,000 and leave it there for a couple of years. Do you think that's fair? Can newer parents afford to be given a little bit less?
Look, I do think it's fair. I do think the baby bonus is one that needs to be looked at closely in the context of the overall budget and where we as a country are wanting to go. I've always had a bit of a question mark around the baby bonus itself, and again, if we want to personalise this, for several of our kids it was incredibly valuable, and I'm sure valuable to many listeners, whether that is the best way to target support for families is, I think, a public policy question worth having, and I think one of the issues that we'll have a good debate about when the Parliament comes back in February.
Okay, another of the more contentious cuts was cuts to university funding, slashed by almost $650 million. A lot of that money coming from scrapping the HECS discount for maths and science students that they were granted 2 years ago. The government says it's not working. What's your initial response to that idea?
Frankly, I think it's nuts. At the Jobs Forum only a couple of months ago, and in all economic advice, Australia has to place itself over the next 40 to 50 years as the knowledge nation, with education and innovation at its heart. I've heard, I think, every single government minister say that at some point in the last 18 months. So to see these cutbacks as part of austerity measures, I think, is crazy.
So you wouldn't support it?
For short-term gain, we are doing ourselves potentially some long-term damage.
You wouldn't support that cut?
Well, if it does come onto the floor of the Parliament in a legislative package, I'll have a look at it. But in its current form, from only an announcement yesterday, I'd be very unlikely to. I'd want to hear a very clear explanation as to why and how it's going to benefit the long-term standard of living and productivity of Australia to be convinced otherwise.
Half the forecast surplus is dependent pretty much on the passage of the means test on the private health insurance rebate, estimated to raise $768 million in that year, 2012-13. Now, the government's tried before and failed. With Harry Jenkins' vote, the government is still one vote short on this. You've indicated your opposition in the past. Are you still opposed, or are you changing your view on that?
Well, can I correct you? Because in the 43rd Parliament, the government hasn't tried, and I thought it was a bit rich that the Treasurer actually blamed the Parliament for a billion-dollar hole in his figures.
I suppose I was judging. We've had the Health Minister on this program a couple of times, and each time she said she hadn't yet secured the support of the independents.
Well, you know, that is an issue for them. That is not what the Treasurer said when he released my EFO. He all but blamed the Parliament, and I thought that was a bit rich. In the last Parliament, I actually voted for very similar measures. So the question's got to be put to government why they didn't put it to the floor of the Parliament if they are so concerned about their financials and it does have such a big impact. I think this is an issue that, from my perspective, I'm wanting to engage government on in regards to the issues in and around private health insurance. There are some issues of concern at a local level in regards to what we have built as a collegiate network of doctors and the impact on those for regional and rural doctor networks. I think that's a very real issue that I'm still not satisfied government's addressed properly, but I'm all very much up for a conversation, and I think in the madness of the last couple of months where the focus was on other things such as Malaysia solutions or the mining tax, negotiations in an earnest fashion in and around private health insurance weren't done as much as they could be, and I'm willing to have Parliament resume on Christmas Day if need be to resolve the issue if it's important to government.
So it sounds like they could almost count on your vote for that.
Oh no, there are some issues that we still need to talk through, but I'm more than willing to talk, and that's been the missing element in this to date, to the degree that it should have happened, and to get to the conclusion of some of those conversations in around things such as regional doctor networks and the impacts on them.
Talking of the madness of the last couple of months or the last couple of weeks, you've been back in your electorate now for the past week. What's the view there on the ground of the ascension of Peter Slipper as Speaker of the Parliament?
I haven't had a lot of feedback, surprisingly. There's certainly been a lot of political chatter. Those that follow it closely are talking about it, and everyone's enjoying counting numbers and trying to work out impacts, good or bad. But in the end, I think most people are seeing this as a parliament that's alive, that is working, achieving results. And this is just another one for, another chapter in the book at the end of it.
Today we read in the Daily Telegraph that Peter Slipper had been warned by his party colleagues on a number of occasions about his drinking. I mean, are you concerned about these stories?
Yeah, look, I am. I'm concerned about them because not they're all getting spilt out now in some sort of smear campaign, but that many of the stories had been around before. And a bit of a pox on both party, both chose...
But you voted for him for Speaker.
Well, there was no vote. There was only one nomination that was accepted, and so there really was no alternative. And it was part of the wrestle on the day and the 3 hours of decision-making that we had, and that's why you've seen some reporting as to whether the crossbenchers actually put someone up. Mm. We all decided in the end that we wouldn't. Peter Slipper is it, and I think we'll all watch very closely, and hopefully it works in the best interests of, the Parliament and the nation over the next 12 to 18 months.
Rob Oakeshott, thank you very much for joining us.
Okay, thanks, friend.
Rob Oakeshott is the Independent MP for Lyme. It's 5 minutes to 8.